Get Certified Together program is created by TechnoCofe, your free online knowledge sharing website, based out in London.
Where someone who might be responsible, or at least someone who might need to be informed, for example, if you are having an application downtime, you're planning an upgrade for application, there might be certain people or certain departments, or if your application is being served by external customers, everyone need to be informed that there'll be a downtime for that application at this particular maintenance window. To get that approved, plan that out is a different thing, but communicate.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Get Certified Together series. This is episode number 48 I am recording today, and by end of this episode, we will be 50% covered with domain C. What I mean by that is, by another maybe couple or hardly three more episodes, whole CCSP topics and syllabus will be over. Now this is a big news for all of us, because once those topics and those domains are covered, we can have our own track. Maybe we can have another set of revision of all the topics, or maybe we can start planning taking the examination itself. Everyone have their own way of taking the exam. Some people they want to revise it, some people they want to find the questionnaires from somewhere, or maybe talk to people who are more experienced, who have recently taken the exam, how it went for them. Online we can get a lot of resources around that. So of course it's not like after this series is over, you guys have no other source of information. Means I don't want to claim myself that I am the only one providing the CCSP related information in this whole world. We have a lot of sources, and you guys are free to look around. You must be doing this now itself, and even I myself listen to other podcasts and YouTube videos and try to get more and more information around that. It's of course help in the sharing the knowledge with you guys, and in help in the preparing for the exam for me myself as well. So like I said, we are free to go, we are free to book our examinations once this series is over. To be honest, when I started this podcast, I was not pretty clear whether I'll be able to go all the way till the end, but all those notifications which I receive almost every day around the new comments or around the new listeners who are coming in and taking my tally of every episode's been listened higher and higher, they all motivates me. And because of the support which I got from online community, I'm still going pretty strong, and we are almost in the end of this series. And like we discussed in the previous episode as well, once everything is over, once all the topics are finished, I will be planning to get on some guests here as well. Because of this particular series itself, I was able to connect with a lot of people, a lot of professionals, and everyone is eager to come and share their knowledge onto this platform as well. So not now, but probably in another couple of months, by the end of this series, we will be having some different kind of format, maybe a video format as well, where people will come in and we can view and we can have kind of like online live session. A lot of different ideas are into my mind, and you guys will be first to know, because you guys are of course listening to every new episodes when I launch it. So just stay updated and stay informed around that. About the examination, I want to share one big news with you guys. So if you haven't heard till now, CCSP is being changed slightly, and the change is coming around 1st of August. So let me just open the article. You can find it as kind of like official announcement from IIC Square on their official website. But if you haven't got chance, let me share that with you. So effective from August 1st, 2024, the exam duration is being changed. The exam duration has been reduced from 4 hours to 3 hours. And there is no change in the domains and topics, so we are safe in that way, because it would have been pretty heartbreaking for all of us if the domains or if some of the topics been removed or some of them might be added later in post-August. So there is no change in the syllabus and topics which we have covered till now, so that is exactly the same. Only changes around the format and around the duration and number of questions, of course, because if you are reducing the duration, of course you have to reduce the number of questions as well. So they've been reduced from 150 to 125. Those are the two major changes. Beside that, there is nothing new, and we can still continue learning the same topics and same information as we are doing till now. So those information are around the new examination and what new changes are coming. Now, before we move into our main content of today's episode, let me share some insight on a nice interesting YouTube video which I was watching just last week. It was around a simple question: why there is no more moon landing? Means we all know that last moon landing was around in 1960s somewhere. So since then, we have so many advancement in the science and technology, and we have new private companies coming in, and they are launching all these spacecrafts, and our space tourism kind of industry is growing up. But why no one is going to moon again? Means it's not like things have changed, or it's not like people have lost interest in that, because we all know that everyone is sending the satellites and everyone sending all those robots and automated engines, motors onto the moon. Why no more people? And of course, beside everything around politics or money and priorities of different organization or different governments, one of the key reason behind is we have to prepare everything from the scratch. And why so? Because still the first rocket which went to moon, which is still there, means it came back, remember, and that whole infrastructure is still there, but documentation is incomplete. I mean, can you imagine, of all the infrastructure and all the new knowledge coming in and out, and we kind of treat NASA as pioneer of everything, and they themselves have incomplete documentation of the initial journey which took place in 1960s all the way to the moon. And because of that incomplete documentation, they can't reuse the same technology, and they have to build everything from the scratch. And I think in some of the topics around CCSP and cloud security, we have heard it again and again about the documentation. Even the auditing which we read about recently, it's all about creating a nice document with lesson learned, what kind of information you have came across and how you fix that, what kind of new solution have been implemented. Because if everything is inside your brain, everything is inside your head, if employee leaves that organization, like what happened to NASA, all those people, maybe they are either dead or they are retired, maybe they don't have that memory now, because it's 1960s, remember? I mean, that's pretty strange, since reading about documentation in out of the blue around the moon journey and why it's not happening again. Just for update, I think they are planning now in 2026, but like I mentioned, they are starting from scratch. This is a good learning for us. Documentation, it's nice to have, nice to document what kind of work you're doing. And it's a good segue into updating you guys about a new blog which I have written around IAM service accounts. Now, IAM, we all know it's one of the AWS service. IAM itself is just a generic name of anything related to identity and access control. But AWS have their own service named as AWS IAM, which deals with accounting and access control of AWS infrastructure. Now, last thing we want as part of identity and access control is using hard-coded static service account, which have like long-term credentials and long-term passwords, which if hacked upon, or even if employee leave your organization, they still have those long-term credentials and they can use it from their personal laptop once they are out of the organization. So AWS have a nice solution to overcome this, which is IAM roles anywhere. So I recently tested it and implemented it, and I thought of sharing that as part of a blog, because of course it required a lot of configuration and codes which I wrote in Terraform, so it makes sense to share it in kind of like blog format instead of just telling you guys on the podcast. So if you get chance, you can have a look about it in my website technocoffee.com. All right, I think enough of chit chat, let's move into today's episode. Before we move, let's take a quick short break.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Right, welcome back. Now for today's episode, let's begin with audit planning. Audits need to be planned. There's no brainer in that. Means this is a generic statement. Everyone should know that. You can just have audit without any sort of like planning. So you need a nice documented way before conducting or before even beginning the exercise of auditing your environment. Just to have an overview, we can divide the whole audit process into four stages. First is objective stage, where we are defining why we are having an audit. What's the requirement? What kind of stakeholders will be involved? What will be whole duration? What kind of documentation we should be expecting at the end of audit? We have to sort that out before even starting the whole audit process, because you don't want to be in a situation where almost the whole exercise is over and then you suddenly realize that you missed something or you have covered some information which otherwise shouldn't be part of auditing exercise, or you missed a key stakeholder in the whole discussion process and now there's whole managerial escalations. So all those missteps, all those bad outcomes you can avoid by having a defined objective. Once your objective is defined, you need to scope the audit out. Now, scoping is quite extensive. It not only involves all the stakeholders, all the engineers which you have kind of like identified as part of your objective exercise. Scoping also lists down all the deployments, all the infrastructure, all different components which are part of your organization, which will be covered and which might not be covered as part of audit exercise, but still they need to be listed down. You need to have all the designs and documentation, all the existing design or even the new updates which have happened recently. What was the baseline configuration? What new changes have been done in the recent past? What new solutions have been implemented in the recent past? All those information need to be covered as part of the scoping exercise. Once scoping is over, you can really conduct the audit. Now, conducting is nothing but really kickstarting the whole audit process and whole audit project. So auditors will be coming in, they will be talking to your subject matter experts, which you have identified as part of scoping exercise. So I think I mentioned it before in the previous episode that you can just go on and talk to anyone in the organization if you are from auditing team. So if you are, even if you are an external auditor or you are an internal auditor, you have to only talk to certain subject matter experts which are identified by different department heads. You talk to them, you have all the information, you can discuss with them what kind of solution they have implemented, what, why or why not certain changes have been implemented in the past and what kind of strategies they have around the change request, around the operational and management. Everything can be covered as part of your audit exercise when you are really conducting the audit. Once audit is over, now this is interesting, we just now talked in about it in our introduction of this episode, the documentation bit, where you will be covering the lesson learned, what you learned from the whole exercise. If it's a first time audit, of course, you will be having kind of like a vanilla document, which is happening for the first time and which doesn't cover any kind of like previous experience or changes from the previous audit. But if it's an exercise which is happening every year, then there'll be new information. There might be new updates around the audit and some lesson learned which were not there before. So all these are part of the final stage where we really document everything and we put the lesson learned. Not only that, we also have a rectification plan and suggestions of improvements as well. So if you are auditing, you are not just there to tick and untick something. if you are finding flaw in certain solution, it's nice to give a suggestion as well. You can simply say that why you're using Ubuntu, why you're not using maybe SUSE Linux, why you're not using Windows. You can simply ask question and just go on with it. You have to give suggestions as well. Like for example, if you are using older CentOS, then don't use it now because it's going end of support and you won't be getting any security patches from now on. So you have to give some kind of recommendation based on your own knowledge as well. So when we talk about auditors, they are not like just someone with no information or no knowledge of the solution which they are auditing. So they need to be subject matter experts themselves. Next is information security and management system, or in short form we sometimes use as ISMS. Now ISMSs are created with frameworks like ISO 27001. We have read about ISO 27001 in the previous episode, so you can check into there. I think I have covered some key components of the framework as well. So what does ISMS actually does is, it covers all those recommendations, all those guidelines which are part of ISO 27000 framework. And of course your information security team, they can implement it in your organization. So it will cover concepts around risk management, identity and access control, governance, physical security, operational management. Everything is covered under ISO 27000. We all know that. Now why I mentioned ISO 27000 like a couple of times for ISMS, we can use any kind of framework. Or like ISO 27001 is just a framework or is just a guideline. You're not bound to use it. You can have your own information and you can have your own customized plan as well. But of course, if something is documented, if there is an already well-recognized framework and guidelines out there, why not use it? Why you want to reinvent the wheel? So that's why I mentioned ISO 27000, which can help your organization to build an ISMS. It's not mandatory, but it is something which is good to have and which you can use anytime. Moving from info security concepts which are implemented as part of this ISMS framework, let's discuss a bit about policies. Now, policies are guiding decisions and principles. They are something which are written down in your organization and which anyone who is part of the organization or who is even not part of organization but related to your organization, maybe external vendors, maybe third parties, they all have to follow those policies. So they are kind of like guide which you have to follow. And what it does is, it ensures that organization achieve all the goals under the agreed security posture of an organization. And that simply means is we are writing those policies so people can follow them and we don't break our security. When, like for example, a policy around your badges, what kind of badge you have to wear if you are part of the organization, whether you have to display it when you are coming in and out of the office. What if there is some external vendor who is not part of the organization but is holding a key meeting with maybe higher management and of course they want to go all the way inside the boardroom. So what kind of access you want to give to them? There must be a separate policy for those kind of cases as well. So policies cover everything and they define whether you are having a nice security posture of the organization. Now we have multiple kind of policies. That's no-brainer again means when we talk about a certain concept in information security, we have different scenarios or we have different types, different stages. Policy themselves, they are of different kinds. One of them is organizational policy. Now organizational policies are applied company-wide. I mean, it's clear from the name itself. They are applied on the whole organization. And it is mainly required to reduce the business impact, maybe financial losses as well, and reputational damage. So the policies which actually cover the key business losses or key business impacts, it's not as minor as what kind of configuration you need to apply or what kind of access control you need to give to a new hire. Those won't damage your business reputation or those may not impact you financially. But policies which can maybe include your customer data or what kind of information you are passing into the customer when they are having some queries related to your cloud environment. If you don't follow those policies, they might impact your business, they might impact your reputation as well. So those are like key organizational policies. We of course have some functional policies as well. That is our second type, which actually work or cover our day-to-day aspects. So like I mentioned about the badges or what kind of infrastructure you need to deliver or what kind of policies you need to apply inside your virtual machines or what kind of encryption you are using, what kind of internet access you are giving to employees who are working inside your office or who are working on VPN in these days, a remote work kind of environment, what kind of websites they can open from their laptop. They all are not impacting your business. They are not impacting your organizational reputation, but they are nice to have. They will control or they will force your employees to follow certain regulation. And of course, they will help in keeping the whole security environment nice and clean. Now, beside that, of course, when we're talking about CCSP, we are talking about cloud as well, because we are securing the cloud as part of CCSP. So cloud computing itself have their own policies. These policies cover different aspects like encryption, where your data is stored, what kind of governance is applied when you're storing in certain location which is not part of your current regulation. For example, storing EU's data into the US-based location or site. We have covered this as part of GDPR. So all these are part of cloud computing policies which were not relevant before or which were not as excessively covered when we were having this on-prem kind of data center based environment. In cloud computing, of course, when we have a lot of new aspects, a lot of new technologies and a lot of new solutions, we have our own certain kind of unique policies specifically built for cloud computing. And when we talk about cloud computing, one of the policy is segregation of duties, where we have multiple stakeholders or multiple organization, multiple departments working together in a certain solution or on a certain application. And this brings us into our next topic, which is identifying and involving those stakeholders. You can simply just treat everyone as a key stakeholder. If you have HR department in your organization, of course, every organization have an HR department, and you have finance department, you have IT, engineering, a lot of different departments working together. They all can be key stakeholder in your cloud computing infrastructure. Every solution, every application, every deployment, they are unique and they have their own key stakeholders and their own responsible people who are managing that solution or that infrastructure in and out. Of course, services and deployments, own cloud covers multiple stakeholders. They have their own different, but sometimes maybe overlapping responsibilities. And it is important to identify those key stakeholders for segregation of duties, of course. But how you can identify someone as a key stakeholder means if you are working in a smaller organization, you might have a lot of overlapping deployments and applications which are shared by different departments. And there might be a scenario where you are not pretty clear like who is the key responsible person or who is the key stakeholder for this particular solution. So we need to identify, and there is certain aspects which we need to consider before treating someone as kind of like a key stakeholder. Now, different aspects which are covered as part of this whole identification and involvement exercise. Now, of course, there are different aspects behind this whole identification and involvement of key stakeholders. One of them is communication between the key stakeholders. What you really don't want to be in a situation where someone who might be responsible or at least someone who might need to be informed, for example, if you are having an application downtime, you're planning an upgrade for application, there might be certain people or certain departments, or if your application is being served by external customers, everyone need to be informed that there'll be a downtime for that application at this particular maintenance window. To get that approved, plan that out is a different thing. But communicating that to key, all those stakeholders is a must-to-do exercise as well. That communication can be via email, because of course, that's kind of like a proof. Everyone will be having notification on their mail about a new change or about a new deployment or about an upgrade or something. We can, of course, intimate on the key stakeholder meeting. We can drop a Slack notification as well. That's not professional, but there is an option of doing that as well. A Teams call. There are a lot of ways using which we can communicate with our key stakeholders or all those people who are directly or indirectly impacted by our day-to-day work on a certain cloud solution. Not only communication will help in delivering the message across, it also help in enhancing the coordination among the stakeholders, especially when a certain decision can impact business or can impact the finance of an organization. So it's nice to have a well-coordinated activity between different departments and between different stakeholders, so you have minimal impact on your business, minimal impact on your finances. Second aspect is governance. Documenting and signing off stakeholders' roles are vital for the organization and vital for day-to-day work, not only if you are in for security, but also if you're working as kind of like a normal cloud engineer or cloud architect like myself. When you don't document or when you don't sign off the role of different stakeholders, you will be in kind of messy situation where maybe you leave your organization, maybe you had a certain kind of like verbal agreement with another stakeholder, and once you leave the organization, the guy who replaces you, he or she is not aware of who was responsible for which aspect, or if I'm working on a certain application, whom should I inform? Unless it is well documented and unless it is like well signed off. It also helps in having those kind of situation where if you are doing some changes or if you have taken some decision around an application or around infrastructure, or you have deployed a new solution, you don't want to be stuck in a messy situation where someone will come in suddenly and question you around why, around the decision or around the changes you have made. So unless they are part of like those signed off documented stakeholder list, you're not answerable to those. So you maybe just for your own goodwill can answer some of the questions, but you're not responsible for making everyone happy. You only have to make sure that all the responsible stakeholders, they know and they are aware of the changes. It's not your job to just spread the knowledge like wildfire. We create a Rocky matrix normally for this kind of signing off, where we have this nice segregation around person who are responsible, person who are accountable, person who are consulted, and persons who need to be informed about any solution or any changes. So we create this Rocky matrix around any kind of solution, and it's always good to have, because it will give you a nice information on all those key stakeholders. And like I mentioned, if you leave your organization, that matrix will still stay same. Only names will be changed. So anyone who is coming in, they will be well aware of who need to be responsible for this application or who need to be consulted if you are trying to do some change. So it helps in all those governance aspect of your solution or your stakeholder management. Now, another concept around different stakeholders is distribution of IT models. This distribution is not the distribution which we discussed till now around different location-based cloud solution or different location-based data storage. It is actually the distribution of your real IT staff. Or if, for example, you are outsourcing your work to some other country where a different organization or a different employer is responsible for managing IT engineers and they are doing projects for you. So we are having this kind of like distributed IT system where multiple people, multiple laptops, multiple servers, machines are connected, are working together, maybe in different time zones, and they are working for the same single goal, working for some organization, developing some application or building a new infrastructure remotely. So all those are covered as part of this distributed IT model. And with remote work culture and outsourcing of jobs, companies have been using this distributed IT modeling or distributed IT environments for like quite some time now. And it speeds the things up, means you're not really relying on a single team on a particular location or a particular set of engineers. You can easily distribute the work and more people can work together and build something new. So it will not only help in saving some cost around your business, it will also mean that globally, different experts with their own mindset, with their own expertise are working together. So your organization have better chances of growing. And of course, it's bring a lot of challenges as well. Now, when I talk about challenges, trust me, I will not be talking about all those migration and immigration topics which every government and every country and every politician brings up before any election. So this is not the challenge I'm talking about when we are having this multicultural outsourced work into different remote locations. It's more about the challenge from the IT perspective. First and foremost is coordination and communication. Of course, when you have like teams which are spread all around the globe, it's tough to coordinate. This is a no-brainer. Means you have to find out your own strategies. You have to maybe deploy some standard tracking tools where time will be noted down or tickets will be logged in. People have to update regularly those tickets to show like what they have done as part of working on a particular project. You have to have all these new innovative strategies so that you have better coordination. That's the goal. Because with distributed and outsourced RT projects, where multiple teams are involved, potentially in a different geolocation like I mentioned, there is challenge of members to coordinate. And we can use standard tools like Jira or Teams to overcome all these challenges. So for every problem, we have a solution as well. So as part of CCSP, we are not only raising the questions, we are finding the solution as well. And to overcome this challenge, we have solution in terms of all those tools and all those technologies like Jira, like Slack, Teams. We can use it easily to coordinate between different members, different teams. And some people in a way treat this as an advancement as well. Because when you have teams which are working together in the same office space, there are high chances that sometime you have kind of like a verbal discussion on a coffee break or during your lunchtime, you got certain idea from the different member and you just implement that without logging it anywhere or without having any discussion officially on a channel. You will just simply verbal discussion, even in some scenarios, verbal approvals to commit a change. Because of all this coordination and official tooling and official tracking, there is less and less chance of those verbal approvals and those verbal discussions being implemented in your production infrastructure. So that's a good sign, right? Another challenge is standardization and governance. Now, by standardization, I don't mean the standards or the frameworks which we normally talk about in CCSP or cloud security. It's more about the standard of work. Because you have multicultural teams, you have people from different countries, they have their own mindset of doing work. They have their own way of writing documentation. They have their own way of communicating the changes which they are doing or communicating the work which they have done. And sometimes there might be gap in understanding as well between different cultures and different people when they work together. It might, of course, lead to lack of cohesion as well. Different work timings lead to delay in the task delivery because sometimes you have to wait for your team member who is maybe 8 hours behind you to wait for them to come online before you start working on the solution or before you start building something. It's all part of those standardization and governance aspects. To overcome this, we need those guidelines and policies which I discussed with you around the policing topic. So we need to have policies around how you are writing your documentation, policies around how you should be communicating to your customer. So for example, if your team is located in a particular part of world where people don't have English as their first language, they might not be able to communicate clearly to the customer whose first language is English. So you have to build some kind of like standard, you have to build some kind of criteria which need to be matched before a certain engineer is onboarded into a particular project. You need to make sure that the documentation which is being written, and trust me, it happened with me as well, not personally as in me, I did that, but one of the project which I was managing, I was a technical project manager on that role, and we used to have all these complaints from the customers who are from England, and of course they used to understand as well, but there were a lot of complaints around the quality of documentation, the spelling mistakes which are happening in the document which we are providing to the customer. And my role was basically was not to act as a technical project manager, but my role was after some time became like grammar rectification manager, who was removing all those grammatical mistakes from the document. So what I mean all in all is different people have their own way of working, and it need to be standardized when you have multiple teams working together as a distributed IT. Now this challenge actually enhances and become multifold if the employees which are working on a certain project are not only from a different geolocation, different country, they are also part of a different company altogether. So they are maybe part of third-party organization which is working with you, or maybe you have outsourced it to some other organization, maybe it's a vendor which is actively working with you but still they are not part of your organization. It brings a unique challenge because now not only you have to deal with working with those people, those engineers, those IT guys, they're also not part of your organization, so maybe they have their own policies which they will be following and you can't force them to follow the same standard or follow the same governance. How you can overcome is of course, before onboarding, you have to onboarding or giving contract to those organizations, you have to bring them on board about the kind of expectation you have from people who are working as part of that organization, but ultimately delivering the project for your organization. So those sync up should be happening. Like I mentioned just now, I was working for a client who is part of a different country and who have a different thought process and different way of understanding the things. You need to bridge the gap. You need to find some way of creating the synchronization. All right, that's it for today's episode. Our next topic is around risk management, and we have covered this extensively in one of the episodes, which involves different type of risk management frameworks, how we can have different risk treatments, if you recall, risk avoidance, risk transference, mitigation, or acceptance. So we have covered this extensively before as well. So for sure, means I wanted to cover it today itself, but it's not that big a topic and we can easily wrap this up in the next week episode, maybe in hardly 5 minutes. So I will be covering this topic in the next week episode. Also, I will try to wrap up the last topic of domain 6, which is creating and outsourcing the cloud contract design. So it will cover things like business requirements, statement of work, how you create a contract for a vendor or create a contract for a third-party organization or some organization which is working actively with you, but they are part of a different team altogether. We'll be also covering around supply chain management. Now, supply chain itself is getting bigger and bigger, especially when we are moving into this containerized world where we are not sure that from where or from how many different sources that container application have been built upon. So unless your organization or unless you have this advanced set of software engineers who are expert in building an application from the scratch, we all tend to reuse the baseline infrastructure or baseline application solution, at least the codes or the libraries which we are using to build our like front-end application or even a back-end application. We don't know the sources of those codes, or we don't really know what are the sources of different components which are, or different libraries which are creating that whole application. So supply chain management is a big thing now. We will be covering topics around that as well. So that will be last topic of domain 6. And like I mentioned, hardly a couple of episodes it will take to wrap up the whole syllabus. It looks like it will take just one more. So hopefully by end of next episode, we will be all done with all the topics, all the domains of CCSP. And then, like I mentioned, we can start planning what we have to do next. For sure, the channel will remain up and I'll be trying to bring more knowledge onto the table and we can have more episodes around different topics. I am planning to have preparation of next certification as well. This time I don't want to cover security. So this time I am thinking of moving into AI side of things. So maybe Azure AI is one of the thing which I feel is more relevant, because of course OpenAI is being taken over by Microsoft. They claim it's open, but it's not open. We all know that by now. What I feel is, if you are learning about AI, then it's nice to go with a standard solution which is used actively everywhere. So we all know that ChatGPT works on OpenAI, and OpenAI is built or is taken over by Microsoft. So somewhere down the line, we will be having impact of Microsoft onto that. Maybe once OpenAI is being used more and more extensively, they might bring in this enterprise-based model, and somewhere they will try to tag it down with Azure infrastructure or Azure solutions. So it makes sense to learn AI from the perspective of Microsoft. So that's my plan for the next certification. But of course, before that, we have to wrap CCSP. So that's the topic of maybe year-end. We will be starting off Azure AI Engineer certification exam. But before that, we have CCSP in our hand, and let's wrap this up by August, by September. Whenever you guys have time, whenever you guys are planning to have it, I will be potentially taking it somewhere around August. But if you guys are confident enough, you can plan it next day or you can plan it next month. It's completely upon you. If you have good sources and if you have good experience, you guys are good to go. If not, then take time. It's not that cheap. So of course, when you're investing money into the examination, make sure we all clear it in one shot instead of having in the situation where we might have to retake it. So all the best for you guys, to me as well, and hopefully next episode is the last episode of the Get Certified Together series from the syllabus perspective. Goodbye and good luck.
Thank you for listening to Get Certified Together. If you loved our content, then please like and subscribe from your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss the notification for our next episodes and announcements.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.